we extend a warm Christian Crusaders welcome to all of our listeners on this second Sunday of Lent. The year 2001 marks the 65th year for our radio program. Our service will be conducted by the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
The Christian message of peace, love, and forgiveness comes to us through the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was a tremendous price that was paid for our salvation. We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, you who have come to this earth to take upon yourself our sins, and you who have nailed them to the cross at Calvary, that they might be atoned for sufficiently, we come to that cross today. We come confessing that without that cross, we know that there is no salvation. So we pray that we may take just a little time to understand how much you loved us and what you have done for us, the price that you have paid that we could become the sons and daughters of God. Speak to us through your holy word this day. We ask it in your name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 27th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning with verse 27. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand and knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. Then they spit on him, and they took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him, and then they led him away to be crucified. And then in verse 39, those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." Here ends a reading of God's holy word. Friends in Christ, there is a trite old saying which goes something like this: there is no free lunch. If you don't pay for it yourself, somebody else is. How true of our salvation. There are many parts of the Christian message which warm our hearts and sends us on our way as a confident people of God, knowing that in Jesus Christ all is well. But that did not come without somebody paying a fantastic price. You have that marvelous story of the prodigal son, of a son who went away from his father and wanted to have nothing to do with the household, and used all of his money in unrighteous living. And then finally one day he came to himself and he said, "Now this is no good. And I'm going home." He wondered what his father was going to think when he approached the house. He decided he'd try to ask if he could be a servant. But when the father saw the son coming, he was gracious and he took him in and he said, "My son who has been dead is alive, who was lost has been found." It's a great story. It's a story of hope. There's always hope. We can always start again. It's a marvelous message. But without Christ's suffering and death, that story could never be told with any basis whatsoever. You can go to the grave with a loved one, and it seems like the bottom is falling right out of life. But then suddenly you hear this great passage of Scripture that, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God who gives us a victory through Jesus Christ our Lord." And as much as our hearts are heavy and filled with sorrow, there is nevertheless a promise of an eternal home. But that promise could never have been given to us with any basis whatsoever had Jesus Christ not first suffered and died, but then have been raised from the dead. In other words, friend, Jesus Christ gave his all that we might live forever. These great truths come to us having been paid for by the one who loves us, Jesus, our Savior. God had to send his Son into this world to suffer and to die. The price was astronomical. I think that Peter probably says it as well as any place found in the New Testament, where he says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty ways of life handed down to you from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." So you see, there's a lot of suffering, and now we find ourselves in the Lenten season, and today I would like to take a glimpse again of that crowd beneath the cross. Listen to the jeers and the assaults of the crowd on our Lord. As you pay close attention to what they have to say, you notice that what they were most offended at were some of Jesus' claims during the years that he had ministered among them. For example, one says he saved others, but he can't save himself. Now that's mocking. Stop and think of when that was said. Jesus had been pounded. Jesus had been spat upon. Jesus had been assaulted and mocked in every way. And there in those dying hours of his life, they throw this terrible charge. "Ah, you say you are so much. Well, all right, show us then. Come down from the cross, and we will truly believe that you are the Son of God." Well, Jesus could have come down from that cross, but his mission was to come to this world to hang on that cross. And the mockery at that hour must have been so bad that he could hardly take it. Another one said that he claimed to be the Son of God. Well, if that be true, then let God rescue him. Come on, God. You are supposed to be the one who has sent him to this world. Now let's see what you can really do. Nothing happened. And there was mockery again. And finally, the soldiers said, "He claims to be the king. Well, let's have some fun with him." So they took his clothing from him and put on a purple robe, and then they found some thorns and made a crown and put that on his head until the blood went down the side of his face. They got down and mocked him as a king. When they were done fooling around with him, they took off the purple robe and put back on his street clothes and took him off to Calvary, where he was to suffer and to die. They spat on him. They struck him with the pole that he had in his hands. And then, after he is hanging on a cross, we hear that a general observer, many of them, without a doubt, who were in Jerusalem, saw this procession and thought, well, let's follow it for a ways. It must have been curiosity that caused them to do it. These people could have been there on business or just sightseeing. And probably when it was all over, they thought, what another fool. Why do people get so tied into this religion that they will even go out and let somebody crucify them for their own conviction? He heard all of that. And that's a part of that price that is paid for our sins. That was the response in that day. And now I would like to turn to the response that we find in our day. Here is a type of a response that can be heard on the streets of any city or town, even perhaps a hamlet, in our own 21st century. You know, it's the statements of Jesus that really gets him into trouble. If he just had not been so dogmatic, and if his followers were not so dogmatic, then maybe there would be more people who would embrace this whole message of Christianity. And so the person thinking that way could say, for example, he says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. In other words, he is saying that he is the only Savior of the world. Having taught that, he told his disciples to go out and to spread that message around the world, that salvation was only through faith in him. And so they went. And when they were asked, what are you doing? They were free to say, we're telling the story of Jesus. And then they went on to say, there is salvation in no other name. They were but teaching other people what the Lord had first taught them. Now, that's divisive, the modern person would say, because we live in a world where there are many different ways. And we've got to learn to really be tolerant of the other. We have to say that Christianity is one among the equals. Otherwise, it becomes divisive. And even within a family, we have believers and unbelievers. And that can't be. Not if we want to have unity. So the person could say, well, I guess if I'm honest, I can really identify what some of those people were going through at the foot of the cross on that particular day. He goes on to say that he is the Lord. Now, wouldn't it be better if he had just have said, I am the master. I am the teacher. I am the model example. But when you begin to say, I am the Lord, I am the truth, what about all of the other supposed truths that contradict what he taught and said? For example, we know that Jesus believed, because it's a part of the Christian faith, that human beings are sinful. Our nature is sinful. And we have to be redeemed, not reformed. But there are others today who say that, basically, the human being is good. That's a humanistic philosophy. And psychology, in many cases, builds on this very teaching. Now, who are we to say that what Jesus said is right? That he is the truth? And he said we are by nature sinful. What does that do to contemporary thought? That's what gets us into trouble, they say. We talk a lot about the heavenly home. How can we be so sure? And no one has ever been there to come back and to tell us. They will say again and again, that's nothing new. But Jesus goes on to say, I've gone to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And he was willing to pay the price to die on a cross, that our sins could be taken away, we could be restored into fellowship with God, not only for the days that we're on this earth, but for all eternity. And now, we don't know for sure, they'll say. I can identify with those people who thought that Jesus was altogether too dogmatic, a person might say, walking down our street today. And so they look at the cross. And in our own sophisticated way, we throw our jeers and our assaults at the Lord Jesus Christ too. But let me tell you, friend, that take away these teachings of Jesus, and you don't have very much left to bring you comfort and peace, at least in the name of Jesus Christ. I imagine you can if you wanted to go by some legend or some just nice thought that you can pass along the way. But if you want to have any basis at all for such a thing as the forgiveness of sin, if you still want to be able to tell the story of the prodigal son, then I can assure you, you have to continue with the cross. For the story of the prodigal son finds its meaning at the cross of Calvary. No matter how far away we have gone, no matter how grievously we have sinned, if we will but trust in Christ, those sins are forgiven. Then we can no longer sing a song like Rock of Ages and say, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. For that is based on the cross of Christ. Then when our loved one dies, we can comfort mother, we say, in one way or the other. But we certainly cannot go back to this idea that because he was raised for us, as modern man today, who knows anything about that? We can't base the assurance of our heavenly home on his glorious resurrection. If you don't have a cross, you don't have this comfort. And so it's pretty important for us to realize the price that was paid. But those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ can say very well, I know that you have redeemed me, a lost and a condemned creature, bought and freed me from all sin, from death and the power of the devil, not with silver and gold, but with your holy precious blood and your innocent suffering and death. And all of this you have done that I might be your own, that I might live under you in your kingdom, and that I might serve you in innocence, righteousness, and blessedness. That's grace, friend. That's what Jesus Christ has done for us. Our salvation cost Jesus Christ everything. He died vicariously for you and for me. And all of that is to tell us once more that in God's eyes, you as a human being are precious and important to him. Not because of what you have accomplished, but because of who you are, created in God's image and redeemed in Jesus Christ at the cross. Amen. Father in heaven, we pray that you will forgive us where we in our own way have thrown our mockeries at you. Where at times, in a symbolical way at least, we have assaulted you. Oh Lord, we realize that if you had not suffered and died, then there would be no forgiveness of our sin. And there would be no promise of life everlasting. So what we pray is, God, strengthen our faith. Draw us closer to you and help us to see every day that undying love for us, that we may be your servants in this kingdom to serve you unto the end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray that the message heard today will give you spiritual strength to face the coming week. Christian Crusaders is a non-profit, listener-supported radio ministry. Many of our listeners are broadcast sponsors, which means they give a gift of $100. The average cost of 1/2 hour of radio time is $100. Each broadcast sponsor gift pays for one broadcast on one station for one Sunday. We thank our broadcast sponsors for their generosity, but gifts of all sizes are appreciated and used to share the gospel message. Cassette tapes or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will help cover the mailing and production costs. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Again, our toll-free phone number, 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, simply dial 266-7589. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the Internet. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 39 years.